Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibilities, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do and judge them on those terms, rather than by what they cannot do. This is our second series of episodes, and in this series, we're looking at online learning for students. We are interviewing a number of educators, and today we're fortunate to have Mr. John Stanton, who is the technology director at Vashon School District. Does that sound right, John? Did I do
that's
that right?
Dr. Norris, you got it right.
Okay, good. So, you know, we talked a little bit before the program, too, just about, you know, some of the difficulties. But why don't you, first of all, kind of explain to me and to our audience what's your job is? Are you an instructor at the school too, or you just work with technology? Or tell us what you do for Vashon School District.
Yeah, I'm kind of a behind the scenes person. I work with a small department of fellow technologists to try to make all of the pieces that constitute the sort of modern educational online experience kind of go smoothly. And so we have a number of responsibilities, but most of them are behind the scenes.
Okay. And so what happens, for instance, one of the biggest issues that I've heard is just getting kids connected online and making sure they have internet and that kind of thing. Do you work with that too and deal with individual problems as well as working from a district-wide base?
We do. So when this sort of moment in educational history came to pass in March, one of the first things that we did was try to secure connectivity for any student who might need that. And what that required us to do as a school district was to work together with each of the individual schools and all of the counselors and also our community partners to try to identify those families who might need to have connectivity. And we also, at the same time, rolled out a program where we supplied families who needed computers, devices from the school. We, probably 5 years ago now, we moved to a technology called Chromebooks, which has allowed us to scale up in a way that we had not previously been able to. And so those sort of two things were a big part of what we were up to in March, that is finding families that needed connectivity and students who needed computers and making sure that they had them so that we could go online.
Now, I would have, you know, I'm just making an assumption, but, you know, all of my relatives that have kids and friends that have kids out here on the island seem to have, you know, at least computers in the home. Was that a big problem, or did you find that there were just lots of numbers of people that didn't have connectivity or didn't have computers in the home?
Well, I'd say it became a larger problem as parents had to begin working from home. So
right.
Imagine, you know, the family before March, maybe there's one or two computers, but that's not a problem because, you know, someone would be on a computer and someone might be making dinner. Well, now all the parents need to be online and the kids and everybody at the same time. And that's really where that shortfall sort of originated. And so, you know, it's sort of surprising, but indeed we've given out In March, we probably started by handing out about 300 computers. And then over the summer, we made the decision that every student grades 6 through 12 would have a dedicated Chromebook, and we made sure that they had them by the start of school.
I have a friend who is a professor, and he has kids that are 5, 7, and 9. And so, you know, that was his issue was he was teaching classes online from home, and he had three daughters that are required to get online every day in the house pretty much during the same hours. So, that can be a real problem. Do the families know how to set the computers up and do all that stuff? Do you provide that kind of training, or do you actually go out into homes? I would think with COVID, that would be kind of difficulty. They're difficult.
Right. Mm-hmm. So The short answer is that most students had at least experienced using these devices while at school. So in terms of getting the kids up to speed, there wasn't a lot of work to be done around that. The place where there was some amount of work to be done was as we brought connectivity to people's homes. And that did include several sites where we went to the person's house in a safe and distanced way and helped them to get a connection going. So there was a bit of the tech department going out into the homes.
Yeah, it's and I would, you know, I sent you the kind of a list of some potential questions. And I think I referred to people like me as dinosaurs, who my granddaughter knows much more about the iPad than I do. But is that something that might be offered in the future? Is training for folks, or if we can ever get together on Zoom or something like that? Has the district had conversations to include something like that in the future, you know?
So we haven't, if the question is, are we planning to train the students around the use of the systems? So far that hasn't been something that's been required, okay. Although in each of the schools, there is a computer class of some sort. So at the elementary level, it tends to focus around the robotics program in the fifth grade. At the middle school, it's taught by our expert computer teacher, Carrie Power, in several grades. And then at the high school, we have, as you would expect, a more vocational digital arts program, which includes filmmaking and still photography and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So not so much around the usability of the devices themselves, but sort of increasingly more sophisticated applications with the devices.
And I would imagine that everybody is on a pretty big learning curve, too. Different teachers that I've talked to have said, adapting classes, learning how to do them online and do them effectively, and keep students engaged effectively is the biggest issue that they have to deal with. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, how about specialized type of services? I'm going to talk to the district special ed staff, but how about specialized types of services? Are some of those things being done online, or are people still going out to the houses? The issues like physical therapy and those kinds of things?
Well, I won't be the best person to ask about those aspects. I think Catherine Coleman certainly is the right person to sort of delve into the aspects of those programs. I can tell you that the tech department has and continues to offer supportive services for students who have particular needs. So, for example, our low sight students are often paired with some sort of, large screen mobile device with a pinch and zoom feature so that they can arbitrarily enlarge their schoolwork. And we also have students who work with other districts along with ourselves, and we sort of integrate with those other districts to make their learning as powerful as possible.
That's great. I know that I do a lot of work with employees for school districts around the state that have disabilities, and they can be visual or a variety of things, things like macular degeneration or MS or other conditions that affect the vision. And I know that there are lots and lots of modifications that can be done, or for persons with physical disabilities. For instance, instead of using a regular mouse, use a rollerball. I think even one of the things that I've noticed lately is that in a lot of the new Microsoft programs, they built the accessibility into that. So it's, you hit control and the plus number and you can magnify the screen really quickly and those kinds of things. Anything else you can think of that would help with that? Or do you work with some of the organizations like a Department of Services for the Blind, or do you have lots of resources that people have special kinds of needs?
So I'll start by saying once again, it's Kevin Pullman's going to be sort of the most educated about that. But the short answer that I can give you is,
I'm really expecting her to be a. I'm really expecting her to be an expert. Now I'm gonna let her know that you told me that she is the expert, John. So that sounds good.
Oh, she is definitely an expert.
Yeah,
sure.
That's good. Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you there.
Oh, no, that's fine. I was going to say, just from my sort of peripheral knowledge of that, I know that the district works with a number of sort of outside services who specialize in various forms of support. So whenever we have a case that's been sort of designated and brought to our attention, then there's an attempt to connect them with relevant outside services and to get expert advice around the kind of accommodations that that student might need.
And I think that's one of the things that I've seen. You know, you touched on this a little bit, but one of the things that I've seen that's very positive is that districts seem to be more connected to other districts in the area, saying, you know, what are you doing that's being effective? What are you doing that's working? What are the problems? How are you overcoming those types of problems? And how long have you been with the district?
I've worked for the district for about 16 years.
Oh, okay. So, wow. That's even kind of before they had computers. Well, not really, but that was kind of back when I had my old computer that I thought was pretty much state-of-the-art that had 64K memory or something on it. What have you learned this year? What has the learning curve taught you this year?
Well, I guess the thing that is often on my mind this year is the question about what will we take forward from this moment into our future. And of course, you know, part of that's a technology question, and part of that might be a values question. And you know, I don't get to speak to every part of that, but I can say that I have come away feeling that the interpersonal interactions that I have with people and the face-to-face qualities of that are sort of really hard to replicate online. And I think that we're going to come back with an increased appreciation for the kind of dynamic that happens in the classroom. I think we're going to come out of this thinking more than ever that there's a great value to having teachers and students face-to-face working together, students playing with their peers outside at lunch, and all of the kind of great extracurricular activities and educational stuff that happens within the context of the school day. I hope that that's going to be really forefront on folks' minds.
You know, that's the one thing I could not agree with you more about, because I do think those experiences of socialization, and it may sound silly, but it's sitting down and having lunch with someone else. It's being at the play field and learning simple things like, you know, whose turn is next for the tetherball, or those kinds of things, I think are really critical. And I know when I first started teaching classes online, even at the graduate level, where I had a group of students that I didn't have to, you know, manage behavior. I didn't have to worry about that aspect of it. I think that with graduate students, it was so important that if you had the issue of having the students get together, talk what went right in class, what didn't go right in class. And I know you can do that on things like Zoom, but I think sometimes there's also a tendency, you know, to hold back a little bit. And so I think those personal activities are really important. Do you think that we're always going to have, from now on, some hybrid models and some things with kids working at home as we move to the future?
That's a great question, Dr. Norris. I think that we've certainly demonstrated that distance learning is possible, and that there probably may well be great applications for distance learning. and maybe we've learned even more about what works and what doesn't work. And so I could imagine that we might be able to provide a service at a distance for a student who needed it in a way that we couldn't have imagined before this all took place. So I think there will be a place for distance learning as we go forward.
And I think as, you know, as educators, there's a few things that we have to do. Number one, we have to have the knowledge to be able to teach students. And number two, we have to have the ability to truly listen to students and observe what's working and what isn't. Now, if I think, you know, I'm 72, and I started, probably was in kindergarten in 1953, and, you know, half a century ago, I guess. But, you know, essentially, we had our chairs in the line in a classroom. We had 22 to 26 students probably in a classroom. And while that certainly has changed and we've tried to reduce those numbers, even when I was in classrooms observing student teachers, that wasn't much of a different visual 2 years ago as it was 50 years ago. And so I think that maybe those are some of the kinds of the things that we can look at with online education. Also, I know that that with some of the rural communities, I was talking to some folks in Eastern Washington who said that some of the specialized services that we were talking about earlier, some of the speech therapy and some of the physical therapy could be taught where they were going out to three or four districts, you know, Moses Lake, Quincy, Soap Lake, and spending half their day driving, they could go online, work with a student for 20 minutes, and then, you know, 10 minutes later, work with a different student. So I think it has the ability to save us some time, that's for sure. Where would you like to see us next fall? Do you think we'll be back in class?
Well, that's my fervent hope. I'm really hoping that by next fall we will be much nearer to normal than we are now. I really hope so.
And I noticed, I was just listening to the news today, I noticed that the CDC is now saying that they would like to get, that there's a fairly low transmission rate from kids in schools that are social distancing and that are wearing masks, and they would like to get kids back into school as you know, as soon as possible. And I think that's really important. I had my first vaccine, or my first shot of the vaccine, and it just amazes me that they're going to have 600. They're going to get 600 million, you know, things of this vial that they're going to give to people. But hopefully that will work out. What do you hear from the teachers that are concerns that they may have?
Well, from my perspective, I would typically hear about maybe trouble that they're having using either some of the tools that we have, or perhaps, you know, some online tool isn't behaving as it should. And so we work hard to try to give them a very similar set of tools that they can take home than sort of the same ones they might find in their class. And so our idea is to surprise them as little as possible and make their environment seem just as similar as possible to when they were in person. And I think for the most part, that has worked out. Sometimes what that means is we provide teachers with a second LCD monitor so that they can have two desktops, or we provide them with wireless mice or other things that document cameras, things that would make teaching from home just a bit easier and more like it is at school.
Yeah, we were joking with one of the teachers last week when we did interviews, you know, and that one of the things they were pleased about was that students could, you know, either scan a test and send it back, or, you know, have it be something they can write into and send to the teacher, and that you could no longer say, you know, the dog ate my homework, possibly the dog ate my laptop or Chromebook, but at least you don't. That's one thing you don't have to worry about. So it's again, it sounds like the connectivity problems and those are also things, wouldn't you say, that are going to improve in the next year and can really be worked out. And are you seeing new technology? Yeah. Are you seeing new technology? I mean, before we had Skype. I use Skype a little bit. Now we've got Skype. We've got Zoom. We've got, what is it, Microsoft Teams. You know, lots of different options. You think those things will increase in number and in usage also in the future?
Yeah, I would say that probably not so much in number. So I think the names that you mentioned are the sort of big players along with Google Meets. But I think that they will continue to be important in education. So I think that's certainly true. And they probably will continue to add the kind of features that teachers have requested. So both Zoom and Google Meets, which is the platform we use, have spent a lot of time trying to make their service especially useful for teachers.
Overall, do you think that the teachers you've worked with have been pretty amenable to working with this new system?
Yes, I do. I think that if there's one thing that's true about our teachers, it is that they are flexible. And, of course, they gain those kind of chops by being in classrooms with lots of students and improvising through every single problem and still getting the educational experience across. And so while this distance learning is a hurdle for them, they are pros, and they continue to impress every day.
You know, I think that's kind of the same image that I have, is that, like I said, while this thing hit everybody in the face just immediately like a slap, that teachers have been pretty resilient. Students have been pretty resilient. I've talked to parents, and parents have said, you know, I didn't realize that there was as much involved in teaching, and, you know, rather than just dropping the kid off at school in the morning and picking him up in the afternoon. So I think that's pretty important. Are the teachers still able to work? You know, a lot of times the teachers would work in, you know, kind of pods, or they might work together in a fourth grade group on math or on English or reading. Is that still the kind of thing that they can do with this type of a system? They can meet online and prepare lessons and do planning that way?
Yeah, that's one of the sort of features of this generation of technology. So since you're an educator, you probably remember the days when it was a big deal to do a video conference. You probably had to go to the video conference center and sign up for it and maybe have a technician standing by to make the connection and all of that stuff.
Right.
And these days, everyone's laptop is that video conference center. And what that's done is allowed teachers to kind of continue to have those kind of collegial meetings whenever they need to have them. So 24/7, if they wish. So they've become the person who runs the video conference room, if you will.
How about test examinations and those kinds of things? Do you think that's as effective using this type of system as to having them directly in class?
That's a wonderful question, Dr. Norris, and I'm going to have to say that I am probably not the best person to ask about that, but I can give you two visions.
Sure.
Of what that might be like. One vision is that as all of the sort of testing material goes online, and many of the documents are submitted online, it becomes much easier for the district, for example, to track the progress of a student and to get a really big picture, dynamic view of how education is going inside the Vashon Island School District. So that's something that just is a great benefit of the sort of digital atmosphere that we're in. But of course, one of the powers of a teacher is to interact with a student in a very personal way. And so it may be, I could imagine, a student who feels more comfortable taking a quiz online, or sorry, a quiz in person,
sure,
because they could, you know, raise their hand and get a clarification or something like that. So while I think both have their benefits, they both also have their individual aspects.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's important. And I think, you know, one of the things that I talked about here was that I think we're gonna learn through this system that, you know, one size doesn't fit all. There's still tweaks and things we're going to have to make for individual students to make it an effective system. I do have another question that I have absolutely no knowledge on at all, and that is, you know, we hear all this stuff about, you know, malware and, you know, putting school districts at hostage for cracking into their system. Is that something that we can really effectively guard against? Do we have measures and steps that can prevent those kinds of things? That is, I think, a pretty technological question.
Yes, it is a technological question, and I can only say it's for school districts in general, and maybe the technology user technology in sort of more general than that. Is the answer is it's about a multiple defenses or defense in depth. So there's probably no single thing that a school district could do to protect themselves, but they can take many steps, all of which in tandem at least make it much less likely.
Are those things like firewalls? I'm not even really sure what a firewall is, but it sounds like it's pretty pretty defensive, I guess. That would be kind of a preventative type of thing?
Right. That would be one way to prevent an intrusion into a system. Or another sort of more defensive approach would be backups of systems. So imagine that a system that you cared about had been compromised in some way. If you had a copy of that you could restore in a way that you understood to be virus-free, then although it would be a pain in the neck to do so, you wouldn't be, you know, dead in the water.
Yeah, I think that's, and I'm sure probably personal computers and computers that you have at home are much more vulnerable to that kind of thing, as well as, you know, I mean, I've certainly learned over the past few years not to click on everything. And I was promised at one time $2.5 billion from a prince, but I never did receive my money. So I think those kinds of systems are out there, and hopefully we can prevent against that. Well, I think we're just about coming to the end of our interview. And John, I wanted to thank you really a tremendous amount for taking the time to be with us. Do you have a final comment, just something that you would, you know, kind of wave your magic wand, and like you said, next year you'd like to have the kids back in school and have them back at least with that that personal touch of teachers. Does that sound about right?
I think that's right. I think if I had to sort of sum up the last 9 or 10 months from an educational perspective, I would say, you know, now more than ever, teachers and students, you know, together learning and doing what they do best together, that's the hope I have for the future.
Thanks very much, John. We appreciate it. And we'll let you know when this goes on the air. And take care. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dr. Norris.
And keep your mask on. Talk to you later.
Will do. Thank you, Dr. Norris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's the end of this episode. We've got a few more to complete, and Looking forward to talking to you again next week. Take care, have a wonderful day, and stay safe. Dr. Nurse.